welcome to the Michigan Business Network. I'm so glad you found the Michigan Corners. And what we do on this show is we talk about all things meetings, events, festivals, and tourism in the Great Lakes State. We're so glad to have with us today somebody that's a friend of mine. I almost said old friend, John, but golly, we're getting that situation in our life where we're starting to feel that, aren't we?
Absolutely. Well, how's Vic doing today?
I'm doing good. Folks, I've got with me John Scott. He is the Executive Director of the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. And so, John, thanks for being here and thanks for taking time, because you might say, well, it's kind of early spring here in Michigan, and so how busy can John be? But man, you got lots going on, don't you? And always something happening. So before we go much further, you've got about a year and a half, over a year, as the executive director of this great organization. Tell us a little bit about your role as executive director and what it is that you do there.
Absolutely. Vic, as you mentioned, I serve as executive director for the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. What that organization is, it's a nonprofit of the county and community fairs and festivals that are located anywhere in our state. There's over 80 fair members from the western end of the UP to the greater metro Detroit area. There's also a number of festivals that are members. One of the big ones is the National Cherry Festival in Traverse City. And what I do is work for that organization on a couple of different fronts. One of the areas is communication, keeping up with what's going on across the state as far as issues that fairs and festivals face. The second thing is advocacy. We work with our elected officials to promote fairs and festivals, and also work with them on some matching grant programs that help improve facilities in those respective communities. And then the third thing is we have professional opportunities for fair and festival volunteers. Specifically, we hold a convention in January at the Amway Hotel in Grand Rapids. So this time of year, I'm getting our events brochures out to our Department of Transportation travel centers and other brochure services. We have regional meetings for fairs. And also, looking forward, the first weekend of May, we have the first festival, actually the Michigan Antique and Collectibles Festival.
Oh,
and
that'll
be in Davisburg.
Where did you say it was, in Davisburg?
Davisburg, Oakland County Fair.
Oakland County. Oh, very good. So, very good. How about that? Yes. Well, isn't that something? And here it comes. Here we go, right?
Yes. That same festival wraps up in October.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something?
So it has two stops at Midland.
I wanted to ask you just real quick, because I had the privilege of being close to your annual meeting this January. And one of the things that happened is that I learned that it isn't like you guys started just yesterday, was it?
Correct. This association's been around since 1885.
1885. And when you guys told me the number of the annual meetings that you've had, and this was whatever the math is on that, my jaw just kind of dropped. I couldn't believe it. And I'm thinking, wow, this is something. There's not a lot of organizations that are around for 50 years, and you guys are around for over 100, doing great things and making great memories. Well, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today, is because on the Michigan Corners show, we try to help people understand some of the opportunities that are there. And of course, you don't have to look far to find a fair or a festival or an exhibition or something that's going on. And when you said you got 80 fairs, we've got 87 counties, I think, in the state. And so with that in mind, not every county has a fair, but there's a few community fairs too. So it kind of all averages out. But when we think about the fairs, you guys took it on the chin pretty hard with the pandemic, didn't you?
Absolutely. And pretty much a number of nonprofit type events were very hesitant, obviously, during that time. And some fairs chose not to do an event that year just out of precaution. Other fairs held a limited type fair following local health guidelines. And when you start looking at pre-COVID numbers, over 4 million people attended those fairs and festivals and events throughout the state, and we're slowly getting back to those levels. And the other thing is, volunteerism is very important to these events. And as those fairs and festivals come back, so do the number of volunteers that are getting involved.
Well, and that is really an important part about that. And I hope we get a chance to talk about that in some greater detail, some of the volunteer elements. But you also mentioned funding in terms of grants. And yes. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but just roughly, would grants pay for operational costs during the year? Or is it mostly grants that are sought for maybe facility and grounds improvement?
Yes, facility and grounds improvement. So the legislature has appropriated over $1 million for this year and also next year for those local fair facilities to improve their grounds, to improve their infrastructure. For example, you have some fairs that are dealing maybe with some security concerns. So there's new technologies as far as towers and cameras that they can use to help improve safety at an event. And these are improvements that will benefit these facilities year round. It's not just 1 week of the year type deal. These are improvements that will help improve the facilities, make them more user-friendly, make them more accessible, and make them safer.
Well, and that's really important to make sure everybody's safe in these things. But, you know, there's so much for us to unpack, so much that's involved with your role as the executive director of the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. And so we're just glad, John, you're with us here today. And we're glad you're with us today here on the Michigan Business Network. This is Michigan Corners. We'll be right back after these messages.
The workplace keeps changing, and successful companies recognize and embrace change through choice, adaptability, and innovation. DBI offers affordable furniture solutions for countless workspace options that will enhance the performance of your people and organization. DBI helps customers reach their workplace goals, from improving worker effectiveness and innovation to brand expression. DBI is your office furniture partner. Learn more at dbiguests.com.
And we're back on the Michigan Business Network right here with the Michigan Corners. I'm Vic Versero, and having a really great opportunity to catch up an old friend of mine, John Scutt, who is the executive director of the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. And of course, John, you know, one of the things we talk about is you mentioned in the last segment briefly about security. And I just know that that is a big, big deal for you, because what we want is a great, fantastic memory. And the best way to do that is to bring them back safe and have everybody with smiles and no negative events, right? So I know that's big on your mind. What are some of the ways you're addressing that?
Absolutely. One of the things that fairs do is make sure that they have a very proactive emergency response plan. Many fairs, festivals, they will work with their local emergency agencies, whether it be fire, police, ambulance, just to make sure that plans are in place, that evacuation routes are in place, and that these personnel can get to the entire property. One other thing that we work with our fair associations is going through, you know, child safety, protecting our minors, protecting the general public when they're in a large group type situation. A couple examples would just be policies and procedures on how to handle a lost child, how to handle a lost adult.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I've been in that situation before as a fair board member. Things kind of go into a lockdown type mode, kind of a soft lockdown. And then most of the time, it's a simple recovery and reconnection.
Yeah, so those are things that the parents got misplaced, really.
Exactly. And I was personally involved. I was talking with an elderly gentleman that I knew, and we got talking, and he got detached from his adult kids. So fortunately, when that call came across, I was standing right by him. And those are just situations that are good to have in place.
Yeah.
In terms of infrastructure, like I mentioned before, there's fairs that are putting tower cameras in so that they can see things from a different vantage view. And also working with those local partners, like I said, the police and the fire and EMTs, just to make sure that they're on the grounds, they're readily available. And a lot of times it's a great way for community to connect with those emergency partners so that they're right there, and there's many goodwill things they can do while they're enjoying the summer event.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the big things, too, is I think in previous years, I think there may have been a time when some of the carnival rides weren't as safe as they could be, or maybe there was some carnival employees that you're like, wow, I'm not sure about this for families. And I think you've come a long ways and have addressed a lot of those issues. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's, if you go back in time, a lot of employees would, for lack of a better term, sleep underneath the rides, and it was more of a tent-type city, whereas if you look at carnivals and how they're set up, very clean, attractive, bright events that bring in quality rides and quality food vendors. Their housing facilities are, you take maybe the travel trailers that they work with, and those are very expensive up to date.
Yeah.
All your amenities. So they're very blessed. One of the big challenges, though, is just like other industries, in Michigan, a number of the carnivals rely on seasonal help through seasonal work visas. And that's one of the things that our association and also the Carnival and Outdoor Entertainment Association is working to allow for more work visas for those seasonal employees. There's a CARE Act. It's HR 1787 in the U.S. House. There's a number of representatives in Michigan that have signed on to co-sponsor that bill. And it's basically to support those carnivals. A little history, but before COVID, there were over 400 carnivals across the United States.
Oh, my.
After COVID, less than 200.
Wow.
And one of the challenges is getting enough workers, seasonal help, to make sure that those carnivals can carry on. The second thing, when you start looking at energy and fuel costs, just like it affects consumers, it's also affected the carnival industry because a number of them will bring on-site power units. And those are two big issues in that industry, is getting that seasonal work through work visas and also your energy costs. So they're working diligently to help this.
I think that's great. And I think that really is a safety and security thing, which is really good. And that's part of why you have an association do that work. But before we go to break again, can you square up with me some of the terminology? Because it's funny, because a novice like me, I think of fair. And I'm thinking the Midway, and then I'm thinking about the agricultural exhibits and that kind of thing. So when I say fair, that's one thing. And when you say carnival, is that something different? Tell me about your definitions there.
So, yes, my definition is this. The carnival side of a fair event would be the rides, the concessions, some of the entertainment that comes in and is a part of that complete agricultural fair event. You also have the youth and open exhibition side of animals and horses. So when I talk about carnivals, these are the actual companies that are bringing the Ferris wheel in, that are bringing the merry-go-round in. So that's kind of how I define that. And here's where it benefits kids. Those carnivals, usually how they operate is they will come in and they will work with that fair association. And then a portion of those proceeds goes to the fair, you know, just to support those activities and help make that fair either, you know, cover costs, become self-sufficient. But that's kind of the relationship between the two. Now, the fun part is they provide family entertainment that's relatively affordable and close for a family to travel to and be a part of that community.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to have to run to break right now, but I got to tell you, there's so much more for us to catch up on. But we're glad we've got John here with us right here on the Michigan Corners. We'll be right back on the Michigan Business Network after these messages.
The attorneys of Foster Swift, Collins & Smith offer legal counsel to businesses, families, individuals, and municipalities throughout Michigan, with offices in Lansing, Farmington Hills, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Marquette, and Holland. Clients know they can count on Foster Swift for all their legal needs, from straightforward wills to sophisticated business transactions and complex litigation. Learn more about Foster Swift and how they can assist you at fosterswift.com.
And we're back with John Scutt. He is the executive director of the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. And, you know, and that includes festivals and all the great things that are going on. But you mentioned entertainment, and we talk about family entertainment. And, you know, you can get me down anywhere within a 50-yard of a corn dog vendor, and I'm happy. But I have to tell you, when you say entertainment, there's a lot of things that happen at county fairs and festivals and events that are in that entertainment realm. So tell me some of the more interesting entertainment that you've seen. I got to believe, to me, it might be the Blue Angels flying over the National Cherry Festival, but what's your thoughts?
When we look at our fairs throughout Michigan, there are a number of, if I can say, low-cost, free entertainment for families to enjoy. A couple examples, if you start looking at traveling little sideshows, there's a number of, you know, jugglers and comedians, child appropriate, obviously, but also there are some entertainers that will work with dogs, for example, and provide some pet friendly type entertainment activities. When you start looking at those that appreciate natural resources, I know there's one entertainment group, they bring in fish tanks so the kids have that fishing experience.
Oh, are you serious? They can put a fishing line in the water?
Yes, yes. And that's probably something I need to do because I'm not very good in that regard.
Right.
We also have a number of rodeos. There are demolition derbies. There are dirt motorsports. There are figure eight races with those cars. And when you start looking at other pieces out there, there's some circuses that come to the fairs. There's pony and horse pulls. And when you start looking at exotic displays as far as animals go, there's some vendors that will bring in exotic animals so that people can learn about them. And the thing is, all these entertainment acts that bring in animals, they are regulated and they fall under Department of Agriculture and Rural Development exhibition guidelines.
Yeah.
So there are inspectors out there that make sure the animals are being taken care of.
Perfect.
We also have companies that provide fireworks. Like I said, the horse and pony pulls, but also tractor pulls. When you start looking at some other types of events, there's a number of fairs that have worked with micro wrestling and the opportunities that they have there. So that's some companies I've learned a little bit more about. And when you start looking at your motorsports and your dirt track sports, those are very popular with people of all ages. Now, we also have music. So there's local entertainment, there's regional stars, there's national stars, and kind of depends on the size of the venue, what they're able to handle. Actually, last fall, my daughter bought me tickets to go see Nelly at the Allegan County Fair.
Okay.
And we had a good time. If you go back 20 years, that's kind of the time when I was a little bit younger. My daughter was a little bit younger, and we actually enjoyed that show. There's some oldies on there now for all those Nelly fans.
So. Isn't that official? But, you know, we're not old enough for the oldies,
exactly.
You know? Well, let me ask you about some of those larger entertainment venues, because it would seem to me that when I go for a national headliner, big band, big entertainment act, I've got to guarantee financials and different things, and that takes on a much greater risk to the event. Do you find that a number of your fair members are doing this, or festival members? Are they making that big stretch, or are they kind of going, you know, we can make people smile without having to pay the big dollars?
Some do, and one thing I've learned in the fair industry, we have a person for that. For example, there are specialty insurance companies that will have wind, rain, and weather insurance for events. There are very specialized companies, and then those fairs that pursue those have some comfort and they have some backup in case you have a rainout, for example. One of the challenges in the entertainment industry is as you have more and more venues, such as casinos that come in, they're going to draw some bigger names because they have a fuller complement of experiences, you know, with the casino experience to draw in larger names. That kind of pushes some of the fairs to lesser known artists, but also along with that, maybe artists that are a little bit more affordable. If I were to take my daughters to Taylor Swift versus the county fair, Taylor Swift concert would be a little bit more expensive.
A little more expensive. Well, and that does kind of speak to a little challenge that I noticed. Years ago, I had a friend of mine that was involved with the Chesning Showboat. And the Chesning Showboat was, as some of our listeners might remember, was at least a five-night program, maybe more, where they would literally have, I think, 3,000 to 6,000 people every night at the Chesning Showboat, and they would bring in an act that would sell out. And then they started to maybe split some of their risk, and they would take those acts and they would have one act would be there for two nights, then another act for a single night, another one for two nights. And then what happened, to your point, some of these casinos were bringing in the same acts or bigger acts, and all of a sudden the Chesning Showboat is no more. And so it is interesting that you've got to remember what your opportunity is and who you are. And if you count on one thing too much, it might put you in a bad situation. But, you know, with your expertise and some of the ways that you've got around the state, how many of these fairs did you attend this last year in your current role?
This past year, I attended 47 fairs.
Yeah, so it's official. After everything you described, I want your job. It's just too much fun. I just think that's great.
It's a great job.
Well, and we're going to hear more about your job and all the great things that you guys are doing right at your organization when we come back on the Michigan Corners here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Verschereau. We'll be right back.
For something to grow, it takes time, like the equity in your home. That's why LAFQ offers a home equity line of credit, because frequent watering of your houseplants may be recommended.
Now can we get a new roof?
Not so much the rest of the house. Want the best rates for a home equity line of credit? Ask for LAFQ. Stop in today or go to LAFQ.com/home equity. LAFQ, your credit union for life.
And we're back on the Michigan Business Network right here on the Michigan Corners. John Scudd is our actual guest, and I am just having so much fun because I'm kind of living vicariously through you, John. I hope you don't mind, but I'm thinking you went to 40-plus fairs throughout the year, and what fun is that to be some of the shining, most fun opportunities around our great state, and you're just there when everybody's smiling and having a good time. So it isn't always fun and games, but there's a lot of work that goes into it, but there's something else that I think is an area that we talk about. I think of fairs, carnivals, midways, the agricultural side of all of this. But you know, there's some festivals across our state that really do some pretty amazing things. One of the things I think is pretty incredible is it feels like every third week there's a new festival going on in Frankenmuth. There's a town that is always got something going on. But you've got something going on around the state. Tell me, as you think about festivals, what's going on out there and some of your favorite ones you want to talk about?
Absolutely. So when people hear about the Michigan Association Fairs and Exhibitions, they may not think festivals right off the top. But if you look at a number of planning activities that festivals do, fairs do the same thing, whether it's security, whether it's emergency management, concessions, carnivals, bringing in entertainment. You know, there's a number of parallels between the two types of events. So there's a number of festivals that are part of our association. I mentioned earlier in the show, Michigan Antique Festival, they rotate between Oakland County and Midland County. We also have some smaller community festivals in Waltz and Hamburg and Swartz Creek. We have some up in Edmore with the Potato Festival. One of the unique ones, if you want to get into some of the agricultural scene, we have the National Cherry Festival. And actually, the National Cherry Queen currently is a fair alum, if you will. We also have the Munger Potato Festival over towards the Thumb area.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. These are all events that are fun. When you start looking at our sister organization, there's also the Michigan Festival Association, and they have well over hundreds and hundreds of members. For example, they have the Kalkaska Trout Festival. There's a Shepherd Maple Syrup Festival. If you get on the MichiganFun.com, some would say they're competitors, but no, we're brothers and sisters as we work through these event planning, and we do help promote each other and the events and challenges that we share, they share as well. So
yeah,
we go to their convention, they come to ours.
Great point. Those challenges are not unique just to one side or the other. And it's interesting to me, as you were rattling off all those festivals, and you mentioned the Munger Potato Festival, it reminded me, for years I lived up in Carroll, Michigan, out in the Thumb, and we had the Pumpkin Festival up there. And interesting enough, right, it was a group of community leaders that decided they wanted to do something. And I have to tell you, that thing was pretty darn big. And so when I think about the economic benefit that people getting together and doing festivals and having these kind of activities, it's got to be really important to some of these local economies. Can you give us some thoughts on that?
Absolutely. You know, some pre-COVID numbers, there's an economic study that we did. Before COVID, I mentioned before, there's over 4 million people that attended Michigan fairs and festivals that were members of our organization. If those people went and spent $10 or $20, which is not a ton of money compared to what things cost today, at that time, the economic impact was $26 million in sales tax.
Wow, just sales tax. Oh, my word.
Just sales tax. And then if you look at, if you have a fair, for example, those attendees are going to come. They're going to usually park or pay admission, one of the two. If it's one of those fairs where it's just parking, they generate dollars from that. If you look at what families are going to spend on rides, what they're going to spend on food, you can start seeing how that economic impact keeps growing. Many of these fairs will have an employee or two or 10. So you have jobs that are provided that support the local economy. You also have other events that those sites will host throughout the year. Maybe when the fair is not going on, there might be a, you know, gun and knife show, for example, or a craft show or horse shows, events that will continue to bring traffic to that community. And those people that attend those, they'll go out and buy at the local Meijer. They'll support the restaurants. They'll support the gas stations and hotels. They might also be camping at that event or at that venue. So there's a number of ways that these fairs will start putting money back into the community. I'm going to give a little shout out to Midland, for example. They expanded their facilities to handle more equine events, and the economic impact that those horse shows had was well over $1 million just for local impact. So these are venues that support the community. They support jobs locally. They support the businesses. And when you start looking at, you know, full economic impact, that's one of the things that elected officials need to look at, is these are good things for every community that they represent.
Well, and I think that's probably why you enjoy some of the support you do from the state legislature and some of the other entities around, because they get the idea and really understand that you're making a difference, and you're making a difference sometime in some economic maybe stressed communities, and what a difference it is. And so we're so glad you're here sharing the story and doing what you're doing right here on the Michigan Business Network. This is Michigan Corners. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Works Association believes the key to advancing prosperity across the state is accomplished through building a skilled workforce. As the state's primary workforce development association, their focus is to continue to move the needle on policy, education, and collaboration. They're creating an opportunity and building stronger communities by advocating and innovating together.
And we're back on the Michigan Business Network with the Michigan Corners and with John Scott, who is the Executive Director of the Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions. And I have to tell you, John, one of the things that gets me excited is that you might think that a fair has, you know, maybe a week of setup, a week of the craziness of the fair, and then a week later we're cleaning up and getting it back and shutting it down, and that grounds just sit there. And that's really not fair, because my best example, I think, maybe, is I used to work closely with MIS, Michigan International Speedway. And of course, they actually have, what, two major races during the year, but they also have some other concerts and such. But I found out that they have well over 200 events that happen throughout the year at their facilities. And so that's the story of the fairs around the state, isn't it? That these aren't just boarded up and sitting there vacant for 11 months till the fair comes around again, right? You have some examples. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. I'm going to take Monroe County Fair. And if you look at Monroe County, they have a very nice facility. They have an expo center, a community expo center. And the key thing that these venues do is they offer a place for events and shows and community events to happen. So if you look at Monroe, you know, starting off in January, they do a tax sale for horses. They have a gun and knife show. They have a home improvement show. They do Ducks Unlimited banquets. They have community garage sales. A number of these fairs will be a site for winter storage. So if you have your 40-foot motorhome or trailer, they have the facilities to store them. Monroe also does a beef show. They work with the conservation district to have a tree sale. They have a swap meet. They do a fair food drive-through. So this might be a little road trip, Vic, at the end of April. If you want to try some fair food early,
I'm in.
Monroe County Fair. Fair food drive-through. You get into May, they do a motorcycle swap meet. They do things with Boy Scouts. They have horse shows. Here's a ham radio swap meet. They do dog shows with Ann Arbor Kennel Club and also Livonia. You get into August, they have a splashback fly ball tournament.
What's that?
It's an event where kind of a specialty sports, and I'm not the best athlete in the world, so I'm not going to go too far deep into that and give you misinformation. There's enough misinformation out there. And then, you know, that fair, they wrap up the fall. They have a comic book show, some more dog shows, auto swap meets. They do a vintage market, so like an antique market there. They do Shipshewana on the Road when it comes to November. Other unique thing, they have a tattoo convention. And then they also have one more vintage market in December. So if you look at fairs like that, Monroe, I counted over 40 events that they do. And that's not unique just to Monroe Fair. A lot of many, many other fairs will serve as sites for music festivals. They'll serve as sites for emergency training. So there's a number of activities that they provide. And the other neat thing is many of these fairs are going to serve as an emergency response center. Let's say you have a school nearby that you need a transportation and pickup site because of a lockdown situation or an evacuation situation. And a number of these venues will serve as sites because you usually have a larger space, usually have good wide open space for parking, places for temporary setups. So that's on the safety side, one benefit that they provide. So if you name it, I'm sure it's found somewhere at a Michigan Fairgrounds.
And isn't that interesting? Because, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the volunteer requirements. So when you have a busy fair that has so many activities during the year, what does that do to the volunteer group? Does it make them stronger or does it wear them out? Tell me your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. So I've served as a fair board member, and it is a very rewarding experience. For example, when I served as a fair board member, it was always a lot of work, but at the end of the event, you had a number of families that had a great experience. And it was a family experience that they got to experience with their friends, with their family, and a good bonding time. Now, many other volunteer opportunities. If you take an event like that, there's ticket takers, there's parking attendants, there's volunteers that maybe help judge exhibitions, there's volunteers that help with setup and tear down. And a lot of these volunteer positions are ones where people can give up their time without having to serve as a board member or a committee member. Volunteers are always in demand. And, you know, the one thing is those events, when you're working with youth, there's background checks that all other organizations go through to make sure that the right people are working with youth and family members. If you're interested in volunteering to help with events, reach out to your local fair office, your fair board. Some fairs work more closely with their 4-H office and extension office through MSU. Just kind of depends on the county or the community. But definitely volunteerism is something that is priceless. You can't pay volunteers enough for what they do. And the important thing is when you start looking at what those volunteers provide, they help provide a positive experience for our families out there. And that, in my opinion, is one of the best things you can do for people.
You bet. And you know what's so important, I think, in this whole thing is the value of once you volunteer, and what you've just articulated so well today is the whole discussion on the notion of the economic benefit to a local community. You volunteering, personally giving of your time, even if it's not a lot, just a little goes a long ways because many hands makes the job easier. And so all of a sudden, you get in a spot where you're giving and you're probably end up receiving more than you're giving just because of some of the great smiles you put on people's faces. So it's part of the great story that you've got with your organization, part of the great story we're doing right here on the Michigan Corners program on the Michigan Business Network. We'll be right back.
Physicians Health Plan is local. For 35 years, we've been a part of your community, and we take pride in helping you get the coverage, care, and personal service you deserve. Go to phpmichigan.com for more information. We're the health plan that works for you.
And we're back with our final segment right here on the Michigan Corners program on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versero, grateful for John Scutt's time, and he's sharing with us some of the great things that are going on all across Michigan. And you know, if we think about, and you mentioned a road trip for a little bit of fair food, sign me up. I think that's great. But I wonder if I want to do a little more extensive planning, you have some resources that maybe I can tap into. Tell me where I'm going to go to find more information.
Absolutely. If you're traveling along major U.S. highways in the state, we have a number of events brochures that are at the travel centers that the Department of Transportation has. But if you want to go virtual, we do have that same information that's posted on our Michigan Association of Fairs and Exhibitions website. And that website is mifairs.com. mifairs.com. And if you go under Fair Locator, it has a little map of all of our member and festival folks that are out there. You can kind of click on the area you're looking at if you want to zoom in to the west side of Michigan or the east side or central Michigan or the upper peninsula. It will take you all over the state and it'll take you to those events. Again, I'd like to give a shout out to our friends at the Michigan Festival and Events Association, and that is michiganfun.com. And you can go there and you can find a number of different events throughout the state. Right now, they have over 600 events listed.
John, so, I want to make sure I heard that right. Michigan
yes.
Fun, F-U-N?
Michigan, yes, Michigan Fun, F-U-N.com.
Got it. Okay. So, and that's where you're going to find information about festivals, dates, and locations and cities and
yes.
different things, right? I mean, a classic example, we go to Mackinac Island every year. And of course, my point to everybody is before you take off for that annual trip of yours that you're going across the state, stop at these websites and take a look around to see if there isn't, if you're not driving right by an amazing Michigan fair or festival or exhibition or something going on. And you know darn well there is something within a few miles of any single interstate at any time during the year, right?
Absolutely. Now, Vic, we both appreciate the agricultural industry. One other place to go for information is MichiganFarmFund.com. Michigan Farm Fund. So this is the Michigan Agritourism Council. And if you want to tie in that local farm and food connection, MichiganFarmFund.com. And that website will take you to some of your farms that open up for tours, specialty markets, things like that. If you like wineries, that'd be another great place to go. So one thing I appreciate about our state is we have a lot of partnerships, and it's not, like I said before, it's not a competition. We have things for everybody to do. And if you can tag in a fair, if you can tag in a local winery, tag in a little festival, there's always something to do. And those decision makers in those homes have great opportunities, whatever season of the year it may be.
I just love it. I just think it's fantastic. Well, I know you and your position, you cannot play any favorites. I understand that. But, you know, I do have some of my greatest memories that have been from different festivals and events that I've been to. And so do you have any fun memories that you can share with us from maybe an event that you were at this last year or even as a kid? Because you've been to an awful lot of them in your life.
Sure. I'll go back to my youth. I was born in Hudsonville, Michigan, so many memories at the Hudsonville Fairgrounds. We actually lived about a mile from the fairgrounds. So growing up, my parents showed driving ponies, so we would show at Hudsonville Fair. Later, I showed at the Allegan Fair with my family, and that's where most of our 4-H and FFA projects were shown, whether it be steers or sheep or goats or horses. And, you know, the important thing for these youth that are involved is they have those animals that come and go. But the thing that stays, and this is a thing that sticks with me, is some of the best memories and some of the lifelong friends that I have. It started at the local fair. Mm. And if you look back, college roommates, folks that I work with professionally, a number of these people have that same experience. So that's why it's so valuable in developing young people. So those are just, you know, two fairs that I was very involved with growing up. And then professionally, when I was an agriculture teacher, worked a number of years in Kent County, and that's where my daughter shows right now, and that's where we volunteer, so it's a family event for us as well.
Well, John, what you've done here today is you've reminded me that a couple of guys, I'm a little bit older than you, but you know, that gets a little bit long in the tooth. I can tell you that here's the issue. We get enough stuff in our world, and we've accumulated enough stuff. But one of the things that we probably haven't got is enough of the great memories and family times and wonderful things that we can look back on and say, that was really a special time. And that's part of what your organization does, is make sure that the residents of Michigan and anybody visiting on this soil has an opportunity to have some fun, make some memories, and do something really special that'll last as long as they do, because that memory will be with them forever. So, John, I want to personally say thank you for what you and the Michigan Association of Festivals and Fairs and Exhibitions, all that you do. Your organization is great. May you be blessed with another 140 years, because the first have been pretty darn impressive. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Well, and thank you for tuning in to the Michigan Corners here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro. I can't wait to see you down at the corners.